Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and it's my pleasure to welcome to the program today a writer from Iceland. She's in the United States for the release of her new novel. It's called Ashes to Dust, and her name is Yrsa. And could you tell our audience your last name, Yrsa?
Yeah, Sigurðardóttir.
Okay, that's great. But in Iceland, you just go by your first name, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to just call you Yrsa. Am I pronouncing your first name right?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Well, welcome to America.
Thank you.
And is the book just now coming out?
Yeah, I think it's only actually today.
Oh, great. So we're calling you on the publication date in America. I'm assuming the book came out in Iceland earlier.
Yes, some years ago. It takes a longer time to, you know, with the translation and so on. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is a very interesting book to me because your approach in this book is so different from anything that I've ever read. Your main character is a lawyer.
Yes.
And she's a really interesting character, and she's investigating a very bizarre crime. Can you tell our listeners what happened without giving too much away?
Sure. It's based on an actual occurrence. The crime is not true, but it tells a story of events that happened in 1973, where an island off the south coast of Iceland called the Westman Islands, there was an eruption there, and half of the town went under ash and lava and was just buried, and everyone had to evacuate. So then it jumps. The actual crime solving takes place in the future when they start excavating part of these houses from under the ash and find bodies in the basement of one of the houses. And they've been left. The houses have obviously not been touched since 1973, so the crime goes back in time, and then there's a crime present as well.
And do we want to say that they found these, I'm assuming they were skeletal remains in this basement, but they found also a portion of a body.
Yes. There are three bodies and a head that they find.
Right. And so we have the whole mystery of how did these get here?
Yeah, what happened to the body of the fourth or of the head and so on. So, yeah, I'm actually pretty pleased with the plotting of this one. And also the ending is a very nice surprise.
It is. And how much of this, there actually was a volcanic eruption on this island, but as far as the murder, you made all that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Iceland, we have very little crime, and what crime we do have is it's kind of not very interesting. Even our murders, they would, they would carry a short story, because usually it's just people fighting, and when the police come, the murderer is standing there, you know, with a knife. So you have to be a little bit more interesting than that when you write a crime novel.
Mm.
So, but that's okay if you keep everything else pretty true to life.
And I looked you up on Wikipedia. I see where you're also, besides your being a writer, you're a civil engineer. Are you still doing that?
Yeah. I work full-time as an engineer. Actually, I've had to work part-time for the last few months because it's been going. I've been doing a lot of traveling, but that's sort of my first love, professional-wise, is engineering. So I don't think I'll give it up.
And do you include civil engineering in some of your books?
No, when I started writing, my editor would say, "Oh, please take out this. The room is this by this." You know, I would put in measurements, but no longer, no.
Uh huh. And I'm assuming that you write these in Icelandic and then they're translated?
Yes.
And how is that process? How does that work for you?
Well, I get to. The good thing is I'm translated into actually a number of languages, I think 34 in all. And the only language that I understand well enough to read in translation would be English. So with the English translation, I get to read not the final draft, but maybe before it goes into final copy editing, I get to see it. So, because there's always something that that a translator won't catch, because a translator has to be very, very good in the language he or her translating into. So you don't want this person to be 100% in particular in the language they're translating out of.
Mm.
So there will always be these small nuances that they might not pick up.
In your new book, Ashes to Dust, we have these mysterious remains that are found in this house that's been covered up by ashes from a volcanic explosion. The murder has happened, if these were murders, has happened decades ago. But then we have a new murder or a new suspicious death. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, that's so my lawyer is actually defending the owner of the house, who was a teenager at the time of the eruption. And he is suspected because he is the one who's been trying to prohibit his family house being taken from under the ash. And then it turns out that he had put the box with the head in the basement. And the only person who can really verify that the box doesn't originate from him is his high school sweetheart, and she is murdered. So he's sort of left alone with no... like the only witness that could prove his innocence is killed. So that's the murder in the modern times.
Uh-huh.
And I should note that because in Iceland we don't have guns, people cannot own a gun, and even our police don't have guns. So you have to be pretty inventive when you kill someone if you don't want to go around clubbing everybody. And this high school sweetheart is killed with Botox. So.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the more interesting murders, but they make it look like a suicide.
Yeah.
But in fact, she worked for a plastic surgeon.
Yes.
So maybe she had access to Botox.
Yeah.
But we don't want to give too much away about this. I love this character you have, the attorney who's investigating all this. And she's looking into this family history, and a lot of these people really aren't very cooperative, are they?
No, not really. I don't know if I think, you know, old history, family history is something that people don't want others poking around in, and especially if there's something that they have to hide. So, and also, small societies tend to be a bit secretive, just in nature. So I think the atmosphere is pretty truthful to what would have occurred.
Tell us about these islands. These sound like really beautiful spots.
They are. I mean, of all Iceland, these are my favorite area, the Western Islands. It's an archipelago. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this.
Uh-huh.
Set of islands, and only one of them is inhabited, and it's sort of like a magical place where you can see all these little islands sticking out of the sea around it, and then, you know, you can clearly see where the lava just came and swallowed half of the town. The people in part moved back, and only recently the number of inhabitants have reached the numbers that there were in 1973, because a lot of them didn't want to go back.
A lot of wildlife, a lot of bird life, a lot of fish.
Yes, puffins and fish, and it's just, you have everything there somehow, close at hand.
And this family, there's a couple of brothers, and they have basically inherited a company that is sort of a fishing empire, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And the one brother, the one who's under suspicion for the head.
Yes.
The attorney is really trying to help him, and he's in jail. He's being incarcerated. They're holding him for questioning. And I love the way you twist the story around.
Well, thank you.
The attorney's assistant, I think, is my favorite character, though.
Yeah, Bella. Yeah.
She's a bit truculent. You want to tell us about her?
Yeah, she's actually one of the few characters that I write about that I based on an actual person, not she's in exactly this person, but really similar. And that was when my engineering firm, the director, we needed like a new woman to man the like a secretary, the one that sits in the front when people come in. Now my English is not good enough.
Receptionist,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And he put an ad, and there were so many people that had sent in wanting the job that he just picked one out of the hat. And we ended up with someone who was like a death metal person, was, you know, looked like Alice Cooper and was horrible. And so she's based on that character, having a receptionist that's, you know, the person you see when you come into the company will be somebody who's not at all, knows nothing about customer service and couldn't care less. So she's kind of that person.
Mm-hmm. And she's really kind of the opposite of your lawyer.
Yes, yeah.
But they're working together, and they're actually a pretty good team.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, you know, a plus and a minus are pretty, you know, they strengthen each other.
You also have a very strange character in this story. I don't know how much we want to talk about this fellow, but he's a really damaged person, isn't he?
Yes, yeah.
But he's an important part of the story.
Yeah. And we do have, even though Iceland is a very small society, we were about 315,000 in total. Like everywhere, there are people who are somehow left behind. I don't know what the term would actually convey what I'm meaning, but are children of parents or someone that don't take enough care to make them good people.
Mm.
They're not born bad, but they just become sort of with no feelings somehow.
Psychopathic, I think, maybe.
Yes, yeah. Know. They just think about their own well-being and care nothing for others. And it's more like a sickness than anything, I think. But thankfully, we have very few people like this, but it does happen.
The book is Ashes to Dust, and my guest is Yrsa, and she's in New York City from Iceland. The book has just come out, and are you in town for some publicity?
Yes. But I've been here now for Friday, and I'm going back home tomorrow.
Okay. Well, what kind of things have you been doing?
Well, tonight I'm appearing at the Scandinavian House, and on a panel or like on a discussion about the book.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking very much forward to that. And then we've just been meeting with the publisher, and I'm just shopping.
Shopping.
And very much just enjoying New York.
Oh, good.
Very, very, very nice.
Well, I had an opportunity to read the advance copy of the book, and then I got the finished copy. And there is one distinctive difference. I don't know if you've seen the American advance copy, but on the cover it says, a quote from the Telegraph, the British newspaper, it says, quote, "Iceland's answer to Stieg Larsson."
Yeah.
But on the finished copy, it has a completely different quote. It says, "I can see why so many people are enthusiastic about Yrsa's work. It's very engaging, fresh, and exciting." And this quote is from James Patterson.
Yeah, that was really nice.
What do you think?
Very nice of him.
What do you think about the whole Stieg Larsson phenomenon?
Well, I think I prefer the James Patterson quote because I think the Stieg Larsson books are totally engaging, but they're very different in a way to what I'm writing. So someone picking up my book thinking that this is a continuation of his form would probably be a little bit disappointed because I'm doing my thing, and it's different. And I think all of the Scandinavian writers tend to be sort of write their own books, and no one is trying to redo his stuff. So
sure.
But we do get a lot. This is supposed to be a compliment, though.
Right.
And a lot of the Scandinavian writers get this at one point or another in reviews and things and articles about them. And it's meant as a compliment, but it's a little bit... I get a little bit worried when I see it on the covers of my books, because I think the readers will expect something completely different.
Well, here in this country, as I'm sure you're aware, it's all about marketing. And Stieg Larsson, his books have been so successful here. So they seem to package any writer who's writing any sort of thrillers or crime fiction who is from any of those countries up there, Sweden, Norway, Finland,
yeah.
Denmark, Iceland, any of them, and they say this is Denmark's answer to Stieg Larsson. I mean, it's all
yeah.
packaging.
It is.
I've read some of these books, and I go, well, I like this book, but it's not like Stieg Larsson at all.
No, precisely. So I was really, really very happy about the James Patterson quote. It says much more, I think. More relevant.
It's nice they decided to change it. Now, did you have anything to do with that?
No.
Okay.
I didn't see the advance copy. So.
All right. Well, I'm looking at your bibliography. I looked you up on Wikipedia, and I see that you've written a number of books, and a lot of these, I'm guessing, are crime fiction, but it says you also have written books for children.
Yes, I started my writing career writing for sort of children, preteens, and I wrote 5 books in that genre before moving on to grown-ups. And in all, I've written 6 books in the Soda series, the third one of which is Ashes to Dust. And then I've written 1 standalone thriller that was bought by a Hollywood producer for a movie. So that was really nice.
Now, which one was that?
That one will be called either I Remember You or Someone to Watch Over Me.
Okay.
It's sort of a crisscross between sort of a crime/thriller book. It's quite, people seem to like it very much wherever it comes out. So that'll be out next year.
Yeah, I'm looking at the translations. I'm not seeing that on the list here. I've got Last Rituals, My Soul to Take, The Day is Dark. It must be one of these other ones that isn't translated.
No, yeah, it's coming out. It's only coming out next year.
In the U.S.?
Yeah, in the U.S. and the U.K. So.
Okay.
But I just saw some emails about changing the name from I Remember You to Someone to Watch Over Me. But how that will end, I don't know.
What's the Icelandic title?
It's I Remember You.
But can you say it in Icelandic?
No, Ég man þig.
Okay. And Thora, you say you've had 6 books with her?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I'm starting on.
How do you get your ideas?
Well, they come from all over, basically. Well, it's sort of a process that I enter when I have to start thinking of a new book. When I sort of start looking everywhere, I read the newspapers differently. Not really on purpose, but just... because I'm on the lookout for an idea. And it could be something in the papers. It could be something I see out of the corner of my eye. Something I come across, like a photo. So it's various things. But it does happen more frequently when I'm looking for an idea.
Uh-huh. The book is Ashes to Dust. It's a thriller. And it was written by Girsa. I cannot pronounce her last name.
It doesn't matter. We go by first names, and even the phone book is in first name.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Now, how does that work?
Well, you just look first under the first name, and then it's followed by the last
name. Uh-huh.
And it's basically you sort of know where the people live. We don't have all that many names, but we don't have all that many people either, so...
So you don't have that many last names? You must have a lot of different first names, then.
We don't have all that many names.
Okay.
I mean, the last names are made up from the first names, so we have about the same number of last names and first names.
So your father's name was Sigurd?
Yes, and I'm his daughter, so
Sigurðardóttir. Okay.
And my husband is Ólafur, so our daughter is Ólafsdóttir, and our son is Ólafsson.
Okay.
Yeah, so it changes like every time.
And is he the son of Thorhall?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, it all makes sense, except,
yeah, it's a pretty good system.
Except if you're from the United States where we're like,
yeah. No, yeah. But I mean, I don't know everywhere that people, this is a system that's, it's pretty old, and in a big country, it will probably be pretty problematic.
Well, it seems like when names are done that way in other countries and then someone moves to the United States, you're kind of stuck with the name that you have.
Oh, we've had, I mean, our daughter was born in Canada. And so when we were leaving the hospital, they had made us fill out a form what her name was supposed to be. And we filled out Christine Scholl Olafsdottir. And they came running after us. You can't do that. You can't make up a third last name. You have to use your last name or your husband's last name. You can't just make up a name. So in Canada, she's under her father's last name. Thorhallsson, which in Icelandic doesn't make any sense because she's not a son.
It's totally incorrect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've tried to explain this. Lithuanians do the same thing, and I've tried to explain to my sisters that they have masculine names.
Yeah.
And they don't get it.
No.
They don't understand it. But it's fascinating. Anyway, we digress. So Iceland, I've always wanted to go there. Are things getting better in Iceland? We read in the paper here a year or two ago that you were having some economic things going on there?
We had a horrible sort of bank fiasco where all of our banks went bankrupt, like every single one. And that put an enormous pressure on the economy. And also we have a very small currency, the Icelandic krona, and that collapsed. And so it was pretty bad for a while. And it's still, there's still a recession going on, but slowly, slowly we are getting there. And we, you know, if you see, there are so many parts of the world where people have it so bad that we can't really complain, you know.
Mm. And, of course, it is beautiful there.
It is wonderful, and anybody who has the opportunity to visit should. It's really, really a good country to visit.
I've always heard that back way back when they were naming countries, that they called it Iceland because it was so beautiful they didn't want anybody to go there.
I've heard that, and then also that there was a guy, one of the early settlers who arrived. He was like a very he was really bad at farming and fishing, and so he had to sort of go back disgraced back to Norway, and he told the people, so it would look better for him, that he had come from a country that was so just covered in ice and horrible, and there was no way that anybody could live there.
Mm.
And then he said it's called Iceland to try to make it less embarrassing that he wasn't able to. But they should switch. Greenland and Iceland should really switch names.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that must have been the man we called Leif Erikson.
No, this one was one of the settlers that came after him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The one that gave it the name. But it was Eric the Red, actually, oh. Leif Erikson's father,
okay, Eric the
Red. Greenland, his name, yeah.
Gotcha,
He was like a marketing guy. He was, you know, one of these guys that would have quoted Stieg Larsson on his book. He wanted everybody to believe that he found, like, this spectacular oasis.
So, yeah, that's right. He was the one. And then Leif Erikson was the one who sailed on and supposedly
America.
Found America.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Right.
But this is all before our time.
A little bit.
So how did you decide to become a writer, Yrsa?
Well, it was, I've always been an avid reader, and I just love reading. And when my son was sort of about around 8, 9 years old, he was reading books, or I was reading to him because he wasn't really interested in reading. And I found the books that he was given to read were kind of life lesson stories. They weren't very interesting for someone who you're trying to get to read for fun. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, if these really bad books can get published, this can't be all that hard. And I wrote And I wrote a book for kids that was like humorous, and it sort of got a lot of readers, and so from there on, that was the start of my career.
That was it. Then you made the transition into writing crime fiction.
Yes.
Why did you go in that direction?
Well, when I decided to move from the funny, you know, because it's a little bit difficult to be funny all the time. And I wanted also to write for grown-ups, because when you write for children, you have to be very careful of what you say, and you don't want to leave like a child with a bad impression or worse off than when they picked up your book. But when for grown-ups, they're more jaded, and you don't have to, you can write more freely as an adult. So I made the move, and regarding the genre, it was just I set out to write a book that I would like to read, and I like crime fiction, so that was the obvious choice.
The book is Ashes to Dust. It was just published in the United States. It was written by Yersa, and I'm going to Americanize your name and pronounce it the way phonetically it reads to me. Yersa Sigurdardottir.
Perfect.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. No.
I
fine.
Now you say your last name.
Sigurdardottir.
See, mine doesn't sound at all like yours, but yours is Icelandic pronunciation. Mine is dumb Midwesterner pronunciation.
No.
If you're looking for the book, it's spelled Sigurdardottir, and that's because Yersa is the daughter of Sigurd. And that's your Icelandic lesson for today. Well, it's really been a pleasure to talk to you. I really enjoyed the book, and I just couldn't believe it when I heard you were coming to the United States. So I'm thankful that your publicist was able to arrange this interview, because I'm guessing that a lot of people probably didn't know you were in New York. You're making one of those stealth visits.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
I hope you're having a fun trip.
I am. I certainly am.
And I'm assuming that you came with your husband? And
yes, yeah.
Did you bring the kids?
No, they're at school. So, but I did bring like a list of things that they wanted brought back from America.
Uh-huh. Well,
I think we managed to get everything.
Okay. Well, it's really been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me on your program.
You've been listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. My guest has been Yersa Sigurdardottir. The book is Ashes to Dust. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks for listening. Next week, my guest on the program will be P.F. Kluge. His new novel is called The Master Blaster. That's the Book Nook on WYSO. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.